Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, this is Ernie Hudson, and you're listening to Canned Air Podcast. Something strange in your
neighborhood. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Canned Air, your tribute to comics and pop culture. I am Jeremy Colley.
I'm Jack Doherty.
And I am Randy Hardenbrook.
And joining us today, we got the opportunity. I saw his booth at Torg and got a card. But boy, I don't think I got an opportunity to stop and talk to this man because it was a busy day. Everyone was busy. The day seems kind of like a dream, like it didn't even happen.
Yeah. But
we finally get time to sit down with illustrator and comic creator Nate Lovett. Nate, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Got a good show lined up for you today. In the Retro Roundtable, we're in lieu of Halloween. I think this is the first episode we're recording in the month of October. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yep, I think that's right. And the last episode we'll record before we hit our eight-year anniversary. So happy 8 years, guys.
Oh, my.
Happy eight-year to you, too.
Yeah, next Wednesday, this coming Wednesday. So, yeah, we got that happening.
I laugh because next Wednesday is actually my 20th wedding anniversary.
Oh, so it's a special day for two reasons.
One maybe slightly more than the other, so.
Ours.
Yeah, don't take
no,
that away.
No.
In lieu of Halloween, we're going to be talking about some of our favorite ghosts from throughout pop culture. I'm excited to talk about that. But after we do that, then we're going to turn our attention over to Nate and talk about some of the amazing jobs he's done and his awesome comics. But before we do any of that, don't forget to find us on Twitter at CannedAirPod and on Instagram at Canned_Air, considering those apps are up and running and not shut down worldwide. And patreon.com/CannedAirPod, or get on CannedAirPodcast.com and click on that Patreon button if you want to, you know, spend a few dollars a month, get access to a ton of extra content. We just recorded another episode for the Canned Air Patreon pod, an episode where we talk about just wild and crazy things we have done in our lifetime.
Some of us live more sheltered lives than others.
What some people see as crazy and wild, people see as pretty tame, I guess. But, you know, we'll leave that up to the listeners to decide for themselves. So, yeah, again, on our website, CannedAirPodcast.com, the Patreon link, and there's merch on there as well. What am I forgetting?
So your boys are on the Evergreen Podcast Network. Hop on there. Check out the great shows, including us. And it is spooky season, gentlemen. So to any of our listeners, if you have a spooky story and would like us to read it on our special Halloween episode, send it our way.
Or tell it yourself.
Or tell it yourself.
We can get a recording of you telling it and then pop it in there. And, oh, man, I would love to have that. That'd be amazing.
Don't record it in the bathroom. It's not good acoustics.
No. We'll get on, like, Skype or Zoom and something. And okay. I'll do the recording. You just have to get on Skype. Or we can even do it over the phone if you wanted to. Yeah. So, again, CannedAirPodcast.com, hit the contacts page or hit us up on social media, Facebook, however you want to reach out if you do have said story. Anything else, guys?
I think that's it.
Mm-hmm. Let's kick it off with this week's Retro Roundtable.
It's showtime.
Got it, dude.
Spared no expense.
All right. Favorite ghosts. Who wants to kick it off? It sounds like Jack.
Okay. So mine is actually a five-fer? Four-fer? Four-fer? Mine's got four or five picks in my first pick.
Wow.
Okay. Thought this out.
Is it going to take the entire episode to get there or what?
No. So mine is Inky, Pinky, Blinky, and Clyde.
Mm.
Pac-Man ghosts.
Oh, you clever fuck.
Yes.
Didn't see that coming.
No.
You know, I actually got stuck playing Mrs. Pac-Man just a few days ago. I stopped at the GameStop and they had an arcade cabinet set up. I was like, I'll just play one game, you know. Next thing you know, I'm like really into it, swearing at the machine. But
and they're trying to kick you out because they want to close.
yeah, right. It's funny though how addictive that game can be. It's still all these years later, with so much more advanced things, how Pac-Man can still grab your and
Miss
hold your attention.
The board changed, didn't it? Is that what the difference was?
I think so. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because I kept wondering, I was like, why is it moving around on me? And I was like, oh yeah, the bow. She's got the bow. Very good. Anything else on that?
No, it always felt so good to get those power pellets and be able to own those bastards.
I always met my demise like going back and forth, waiting for them to get close enough. And then when they would, I'd hit it. You know, you could eat one or two, but there'd be times I waited too long.
You start chasing them, they start blinking, and you think, I got it. Nope.
Yep. The second you're on them, they turn right back.
Yeah.
There was actually a GameCube game called Pac-Man Versus. It was like a tie into another game, but you guys remember like how you could hook up your Game Boy Advance to the GameCube?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, it was a 4-player game. One person would be Pac-Man on the little Game Boy, and the other three would control the ghosts. So it was
they did that on Wii U with Luigi's Mansion.
Oh, okay,
there was a multiplayer mode where what was it? One person was playing on the screen, and like the other three people could have like the handheld device.
Okay.
And play as the ghost. So, like, if you were on the main screen, you had to shine your light in their direction
to light
them up. But the ghost could see everything. You just had to avoid the light to get as close to the person. It was so cool. So cool. Same premise, though, it sounds like, for the most part. But all right. Very good. Nate, how about you? Favorite ghost?
Oh, well, I've got three. For the most part, I tried to think outside of the normal go-to ghosts.
Appreciate that.
Yeah. So, I got Beetlejuice.
Nice. I can see why he'd be a favorite. Mm-hmm. I need to watch that movie again.
That was one I was trying not to pick because I knew he would come up.
Yeah, there's some low-hanging
he was one I couldn't pass up though.
Yeah,
he's the ghost with the most.
Uh-huh. I mean, hell yeah!
Come on. No, I heard they're making a sequel to that. I mean, they've talked about it for years,
like,
but
Beetlejuice goes to Hawaii or something like that.
That's what it was originally in talks of being, but no. Like I had actually heard. Like seemed legitimate anyway. I don't know why I say it's legitimate because I don't even remember the source, but I heard that they're talking of a sequel again. That'd be cool. I mean, he's reprising his Batman role.
Yeah.
And Tim Burton, it's got to be just as good. I mean, I mean, his stuff's all pretty much the same, but not.
Wonder if they'd ever bring back Gina Davis and Alec Baldwin and all them, Winona Ryder, you think?
I don't know.
It'd be kind of fun.
That would be cool, though, to bring
those. Yeah, that'd be interesting. Yeah.
Weren't they in a relationship in real life, the two of them?
I don't know.
No clue.
You say yes or no?
I have no clue.
No. Part of me wants to say they were, but maybe that would keep them from a reunion. I don't know. I'm talking out my ass now, but damn, that would be cool to see.
It's showtime.
I'll be putting that in somewhere. All right. You mind if I go next, Randy?
Go for it.
Okay. I think I've talked about this one a long time ago, and this wasn't even really a ghost, but people for a long time thought it was. Do you guys remember I know we've talked about this, the movie Three Men and a Baby?
Oh, yes.
Oh yeah.
You all know what I'm talking about already?
Yep.
Yeah. So that horrified me as a kid because I liked that movie, but I had never noticed it. And I heard kids talk about it at school, and I was still like, there's no ghost in it. But I remember being like my family went to another family's house for a get together, and like dinner conversation led to that. And that family happened to have that on VHS. So like my parents gathered around the TV for the moment to be pointed out. Now, that was the first time I had actually seen it on television. But the simple fact that my parents were giving it so much credence was like, oh, fuck, there must be something to this. This must be a real ghost, you know? Like, it horrified me. It was Three Men and a Baby.
I still have, yeah, I think we've looked at it on YouTube.
We've talked about it before. Yeah.
But yeah, I had never seen it before. Not that I went and rented or whatever, just to sit and watch and wait for it, but
yeah, I can't tell you the last time I've seen that movie. Probably when we watched that clip. Yeah. But it's so what did it end up being? Just like a cutout of Ted Danson or something? A cardboard cutout of Ted Danson or something?
Behind the tape, yeah.
Right. But damned, oh, damn. Like, it's weird how your mind makes you see things differently. Because once you know it's a cardboard cutout, that's all you can see. But once, you know, before you know, before it's debunked in your head, you're like, holy shit, that's a kid in period clothing standing there. What the fuck's going on? You know?
It's like seeing Jesus and toast.
It's kind of.
Or in a Cheeto or something.
There's the episode.
Seeing Ted dancing at a curtain is a religious experience. It might work for me. I'd subscribe to that.
All right. So for my first pick, I'm going to go, and I didn't want to go for low-hanging fruit, so I went for Jaga from Thundercats, the ghost that Lion-O can see.
I don't remember him.
He was the original leader, like, right before he died, before they all went into, like, hypersleep in the first episode.
So he's like, an Obi-Wan kind of ghost. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. He'd come in the time of need and be like, oh, Lion-O.
Yeah, so practically every episode, Lion-O just be, like, around the other Thundercats, too, just, like, start, Jaga, what do I do? And everybody's like, who are you talking to, Lion-O? Yeah. Oh, nobody. You know.
I know that name. Come on.
No, I don't even know what that ghost looks like, to be honest.
He had the pointy Kaiser helmet on.
He was gray.
See through.
It was very Obi-Wan as a Thundercat.
Yeah,
exactly.
Exactly.
Fair enough.
Was it Super 7, I think? They just came out with just released his figure this week, I think.
Okay, maybe I did see something about that. Because I saw a Thundercat character that you was obviously from Thundercats. He looked old and I had no idea who he was. It had to have been what it was.
Yep.
We see the toy releases. It must be on the Instagram that we see that stuff because we always seem to, as soon as I see it, I get a text from you. Holy shit, you see that Power Ranger Turtle set?
Yep.
Fuck yeah, I saw it. All right, that brings us back around to Jack.
Mine is another ghost that is the reason why the story kept continuing, I would say, in Star Wars. And it's because of Qui-Gon Jinn.
Mm.
Even though you never saw him as a Force ghost, he was obviously a ghost. But you'd only know if you watched
Clone Wars?
The Clone Wars, yeah. The last little bit, because he actually started talking to Yoda, and Yoda went and
that was supposedly the first time they were learning to see and talk with the deceased through the Force, right? That was Yoda and Qui-Gon were first tapping into it right there. So.
Yeah. Yeah, because I remember at the end, Yoda had mentioned, he's like, well, I'm going to go talk to an old friend or something like that at the end of the series. So.
Damn, that was a good episode.
Yeah, it was.
Was that a two-part where he was on that force planet or whatever?
Yeah, I think so.
Damn,
yeah,
that was good.
Yeah.
I might have to watch that again.
But yeah, all because of Taken, Jedis were able to communicate through the dead.
Talking to you, how am I?
Luke would have never been in that
set
X-wing.
Of skills.
Luke would have never turned off that computer in the X-wing, and he might have missed.
Yeah,
blew up that first Death Star. Yep.
Thanks, Qui-Gon.
So skills.
There's a certain set of skills.
Yep. Oh my God! All right, Nate. Let's jump back over to you.
Okay. This one, we'll find out if you guys are familiar with it. High Five Ghost. From regular show. He was, I don't know if you guys have seen it. It's an older Cartoon Network cartoon.
That's the show with the sparrow and the, what was the other animal?
The blue jay?
Both the blue jay and the raccoon.
Yeah, see, raccoon.
Mordecai and Rigby.
I always think when you're talking about something else that you're talking about regular show. Like, yep. Is that the one with
and
the raccoon?
Finally came up.
Oh my God. All right. I don't know this character. Tell me about him.
He's the sidekick to Muscle Man, who's kind of the annoying co-worker. Yeah, his name's Muscle Man. He's this green, not muscly guy at all. But High Five Ghost is – he looks like a Pac-Man ghost, but with a hand – coming out of the top of his head, like
just always ready for a high five.
Fives. Yeah,
I gotta pull him up because I want to see him. I probably have seen him before.
Yeah, show me a picture too when you get it pulled up. I, man, every time I hear about this show,
That's exactly what he was saying.
Let me see. Yeah. That was a very accurate description you did. Very accurate. I don't know how I could add on or to that anymore. Like, that was a perfect description.
The picture has been drawn perfectly.
Yeah, I love that show. There's a lot of 80s gaming nods in it, and it was just a fun show.
It looks like
I think they actually got away with saying pissed on it too, which really? Is wow. weird considering it's, you know, it was a Cartoon Network show.
I feel like it was one of those shows that was angled like Teen Titans Go, like not only toward kids but to adults as well. You know, like these are people who are making cartoons like that know, you know, they're not aiming for one demographic. Oh, yeah. They have multiple demographics, different age ranges yeah. that are watching. Because, you know, it was like when I'd see Teen Titans, like I've said before, they would do Golden Girls jokes. Like, ain't no fucking kids are going to get yeah. that.
Yep.
There's no kids that are yeah. going to understand that.
And actually, the creator has a new show, I forget what it's called, on HBO Max. Close
it's
enough.
It's an animated show?
Yeah, it's an animated show.
He did Adventure Time too, didn't he?
He may have been involved in some of the earlier seasons, but I don't know for sure. But yeah, Close Enough is his new show, which actually has humans and stuff on. But
that sounds familiar, actually. I may have seen a trailer for that on YouTube or something. Cool, man. This show, I'm going to have to sit down someday and just watch an episode.
The Noodly Arms is what gave me a hard time with that regular show and Adventure Time.
It just seemed like
defined elbows on people.
I'm sure I'm wrong about this, but it seemed like after the world of animation went from like strictly 2D to like Pixar kind of stuff, like even in your like Saturday morning style cartoons, that 2D animation had to get really fucking weird to remain relevant. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It kind of had to find itself and be different.
Yeah.
Because everything that you know, like the old Disney Afternoon Gargoyles, Darkwing Duck, all that stuff became 3D stuff. So they're like, okay, let's do stuff that's going to be harder to do in 3D, which is the noodly arms and just weird psychedelic things at times.
Yeah. And they do a good job at it. I mean, I guess I haven't seen that show, so I can't speak to that one. If we're all sitting here talking about it, if I've been trying to talk about it all this time without seeing it, they must be doing something right. It's like how you don't go out of your way to hear Taylor Swift, but somehow Taylor Swift ends up in your fucking ears. How's that happen?
I know this song. That's Taylor Swift. No!
Damn! That's good marketing is what that is. That's what we need. We need to get that person marketing for us.
Yeah, right.
Before they even want to know what canned air is, they've already listened. All right. Have you guys been going to Kings Island for your whole lives?
Yes.
For the most part?
I think I went once.
Once?
I haven't been there in forever, but I used to go fairly often.
I haven't been as an adult, but we went all the time as children.
I think I know where you're going with this, but continue.
Yeah, you do. You my list is sitting in front of you. I'm sure.
I didn't look at it.
Pop filter's in my way.
But there used to be years ago a Smurf ride there, which I adored as a kid. The only thing is when you'd go in, there was like a 7-foot tall Gargamel standing there, and that thing scared the living hell out of me.
So you were like a Smurf going in it?
Yeah. He was much bigger than you sitting down, and like you had to look up at him. He was talking like, I got you now, you and those Smurfs. You know, it made you feel. But then you're in the Smurf village and everyone's singing and happy. And the worst thing happening in there is Azrael's trying to swat at a cat or a Smurf, you know. But other than that, it's just the same. Fa-da-na-na-na-na, over and over and over and over to the whole thing.
Ears bleed.
I have a VHS tape of the ride through of it somewhere. Well, you know, the old 80s recorder up on your shoulder like we took it through there. But a piece of my childhood died when they took that out, and they replaced it with the lower-end version of the Haunted Mansion called Kings Island's Phantom Theater.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You
remember this at all?
Oh, yeah.
No, I have no idea.
I don't remember the ride so much. I remember
the entrance that you remember.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It was the entrance. Yeah. The entrance I remember. Now, at the Haunted Mansion, when you go in, I think you stand in like kind of like a dark hallway kind of setting before they put a group of you in the expanding room, and then you get in the carts and go through the thing. Very cool experience. And this, there was like a great big open like ballroom in the front. Yep. Do you remember any of this, Nate?
Some of it.
Yeah, So,
like, I remember the entrance. I don't remember much of the ride.
Yes,
anymore.
The entrance. Was, yeah, that's what I'm all I'm talking about is the entrance, because I don't remember a damn thing about the ride. I'd have to look. I'm sure there are ride throughs on YouTube somewhere. Mm-hmm. But there was again a great big like ballroom that
where the queue was to get in.
The queue was. Yep. Yeah. Now, whenever we went, it wasn't during Halloween. The thing was open year round. It wasn't a seasonal thing. Mm-hmm. So the line typically wasn't long. But at Halloween, it took up that whole ballroom
for sure.
Well, up toward the ceiling, like the ceiling of this thing was like what, 2-3 stories high. Anyway,
easy, yeah.
And up toward the top was this balcony with this great big old creepy organ.
Mm-hmm.
And the Phantom was the kind of your host, kind of like the Crypt Keeper. I mean, he looked damn near. That could have been a copyright infringement. There could have been lawsuits over that because he looked a lot like.
He was like him. The Crypt Keeper with Rogaine, if I remember correctly.
He had more hair. He had the cape, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
But while you're standing in line, he would just he'd be up there. On an organ in a balcony, just up there fucking playing that thing. And it was scary when you were a kid. And he'd stop and turn around like, I've got you now. Like, you're already in here, no going back kind of a thing. Yeah, and then he'd swivel around and start playing these big things again. And it was creepy. It was creepy. And as you can tell, the three people that have memory of this thing only remember the entrance.
Yeah.
That's and the same thing with the Smurf ride. It was the entrance I remember the most. Gargamel, man. Like, oh. Now, that was a water ride. You were in a boat for the Smurf one. Okay. This was like you were sitting in these like chair pod things. Very similar to Haunted Mansion, but smaller, if I remember correctly. Yeah. But that Phantom, man. And I remember those commercials. King's Island's Phantom Theater.
Yep.
I'll have to see if I can find one of those commercials and splice it in if they exist out there. But all right. Anything else on that before we move on?
Nope.
Randy.
All right. So for my next one, I want to give a shout out to my boy Starscream, who bit it in the movie and then kept possessing people for at least 2 other series. So
RoboGo.
Yes. Yes. RoboGo. So you guys remember when he bit it in Transformers the movie? Mm-hmm. Well, he came back, I think.
Did he?
The series continued.
Oh, that's right.
Because
it was Scourge and Cyclonus was the bad guys after.
Yeah, and he kept possessing. I can't remember which one, but he kept possessing like one of them. Like, Starscream, you know. And then later on in Beast Wars, which was I know you guys aren't familiar with that one at all.
I know Beast Wars.
Okay, mm-hmm. You remember Waspinator? Shut up. I don't do voices, asshole. But anyway, he...
we all watch very different shows. It
was... Waspinator was kind of like the real... In every 80s cartoon, like, there was always that, like, kiss ass to the boss that just was a totally, like, useless minion that just always got, like, blown up or got his ass kicked. Well, in Beast Wars, that's the one, for one episode, Starscream chose to possess, which was just hilarious because it was pretty much him in that version. But,
I always felt by the time Beast Wars came along, they were like talking to a whole new generation. I wonder how many people actually got that.
There were a few episodes where they would do callbacks. Like you'd see like the body of Optimus Prime and like
really
they'd have to go get like his Allspark and stuff like that. Yeah. So
And that was the crudely done CGI show like in the early 2000s, late 90s.
It wasn't crudely done. Damn it. It was
by today's standards.
Well, standards, of course. Yeah. But
It looked like that I Want My MTV music video.
No way.
Wasn't that bad.
Well, they brought Beast Wars back on Netflix with the new season of Transformers. Yeah.
What'd you say, Nate?
I said it was bad.
Thank you, Nate.
It got better when they switched it to Beast Machines.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah.
Thank you. At least Nate's got my back.
You're breaking up, Nate. I'm sorry. We must have a bad connection.
All right, guys. Are there any other picks that we must get off our shoulders before we end this?
Slimer.
Well, of course. Yeah. He's a great ghost.
I do want to throw out one arbitrary Hanna-Barbera cartoon.
Speaking of Smurfs.
Yeah, right? So do you guys remember the Funky Phantom?
No.
Only because of Scooby-Doo.
Yes. So
some of those.
It was literally Funky Phantom, and I don't know if this came before or after Scooby-Doo. I'm imagining after. But they just recycled the same formula. It was three teenagers and their dog go into like this haunted mansion, turn the clock back on something, and it pops out this ghost from the spirit of 1776, done by the same voice actor that did Snagglepuss, and his ghost cat. That was, I think, the same one that did like Muttley. But yeah, it was just, I don't know how long it aired, but it was just same formula as Scooby-Doo, same formula as Speed Buggy. It was just, yeah.
Funky Phantom.
Yep, Funky Phantom.
I may have seen it, just didn't know what it was.
But
man, it makes me think of McDonaldland. You know, they ripped off H.R. Puffinus stuff to a T, man. Like, the trees in the background. They even hired the same voice actors to do characters. Like, even the same kind of characters in their thing. Like, yeah, it was in court for years, and they had to get it shut down. It's crazy how bold people are sometimes, not even trying to be subtle about it. You know what I mean?
Even drove a speed buggy.
Yeah. Yeah. God, yeah. Like, I swear they reused some of the frames. Like, the ghost looks like a Fred Flintstone with a ponytail.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I vaguely remember it.
Oh, wow. Well, I mean, a lot of those Hanna-Barbera characters had a very distinctive, like, nose and... Oh, Jesus.
That's the crew.
Yeah. Oh, no way.
That's straight up Fred and Daphne.
Will you send me that picture so I can put it on our Instagram with this post when this episode goes up? Wow.
But I'll never forget, like, the intro to that, like, they wind the clock back and he pops out, like, the spirit of 1776 even! You know, just... Pure Snagglepuss.
Wow. Remember at King's Island when they would have, like, you've parked in this Huckleberry Hound lot.
And yeah.
Yep.
You still never remembered where your car was. All right.
Nate, did you have any others that we missed, man?
Nothing that were, you know.
Nothing pressing?
Yeah.
Bruce Willis.
I see. No, dead
Patrick
people.
Swayze. Oh, Bruce Willis was a ghost too.
Yeah.
But Patrick Swayze was better.
Yeah.
Patrick Swayze.
I was at work and I was trying to find some inspiration from one of the guys at work. I'm like, give me a ghost from pop culture. Well, like from video games? I'm like, anything, dude. And I don't want Bruce Willis or Sam from Ghost. And no Beetlejuice. I was like, find me anything else.
I'll tell you, other than Patrick Swayze, the ghost who taught him how to kick cans and move shit. That dude was horrifying.
Oh,
in the subway, the ghost in the subway. Remember him?
No, not off the top of my head.
He was like, go ahead, Nate.
I can't remember his name, but yeah, I mean,
visually, like a long black coat exactly on.
Like, what he looks like.
Yeah, like scraggly long black hair and like a long...
Bald, but yeah, and kind of bug eyes and...
Yeah, he was like bored and like knocking... newspapers out of people's hands, and Patrick Swayze goes, hey, how are you making stuff move? You gotta teach me how to do that. And he was a real asshole. I can see I'm not gonna get you guys to remember, but
I think I might remember.
That's okay. It's a good movie. That movie holds up, I think.
The guy, the lead singer from Midnight Oil, is kind of what I'm thinking of.
Or
there's the guy that looks like him that's an actor.
I don't know.
You
know that. No. Or remember the hell ghost, the ghost that would shoot up out of the like the black things that come up and grab you.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Those were freaking.
Sound like a drain clog or something like that. Like toilet flushing. Oh god.
Turn it off.
I can't listen to your Whoopi Goldberg, save me.
All right, that's going to do it for our favorite ghost, but we're going to jump to a commercial really quick, and then when we return, we're going to turn our attention over to Nate, so stick around.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
And we are back from commercial break, and we are sitting here talking with illustrator and comic creator Nate Lovett. Nate, I want to thank you again for being here, man. It's awesome to have you. I wish we could have caught up more at the con. How was Torgs for you to kick off? How was your, I want to say weekend, but it wasn't the whole weekend. How was your day at the con?
It was good. I wasn't real sure what to expect because I haven't really done any game cons like that. Mm-hmm. But... It was pretty good.
Yeah, it seemed like we were talking on the last episode, a very nice balance. You know, there wasn't too much of one thing or another. There was I don't know. Obviously, there were more games there, but it was a nice balance. Nothing was overshadowed, it seemed. And the way everything was spread out, too.
The layout was good, too, so you didn't have just all games and then just one lowly.
If somebody wanted to avoid a comic aisle or a toy aisle, they weren't given the opportunity. But I think Wizard had made that mistake before. I'm not going to get into that shit.
They made lots of mistakes.
Yeah, they did.
Where are they now? Exactly.
Burning in. Well, I'm not going to say that. All right. So, Nate, tell us and the listeners a little bit about yourself. You know, obviously, you have a very impressive resume. People can check your work out at nate-lovett.com, and especially on the social media. But on top of, you know, being a comic creator, you've done concept art for Marvel, Image, Nickelodeon, list goes on, projects for like Paw Patrol, G.I. Joe, Marvel Comics Presents, and that list goes on as well. Tell us about yourself. How'd you get into this, man?
I went to CCAD, Columbus College of Art and Design. I actually went there for animation. I graduated in 2000, but while I was there, Toy Story and then Toy Story 2 came out. So back to once the 3D stuff came, nobody wanted traditional 2D animation really. So I met my wife my senior year. My original plan had been to move to California after I graduated because that's where – you know, most of the animation places were. Columbus had a couple at the time, but they ended up closing up shop shortly after I graduated. So I ended up hanging around Columbus instead of moving, doing whatever work I could. And then I don't know if you guys ever went to Midgard Comics back in the day at Columbus Square.
I never did, no.
No.
I ended up hooking up with Keith, the owner there, and he was doing some comics through the store and kind of whatever. And so I did that for a bit. And then when I discovered the internet for comics and forums, found PencilJack.com, which is amazingly still around. But it's just a comic book forum. And met lots of people on there who I'm still friends with to this day who were comic pros and, you know, just kind of made those connections and started doing more comic stuff and got some freelance stuff and kind of started that way. First real comic job. When I say real, like actually published work was Zombie Reanimated from Devil's Due back.
Oh, okay.
14 years ago now, based off the zombie with an X. It was a animated show on Newsgrounds, or I forget where. But James Farr was the creator and animator and everything, and he had got some deal with Devil's Due, and he wrote the book, and I got to draw it, and that opened up doors to concept art and toy work and stuff. So I did a whole bunch of that for a long time. Right. While I tried to do my own comic stuff and tried to break into Marvel and all those. And then Dave Akins, who is another local guy, he's been doing Dora and other Nickelodeon books forever.
Akins, I know that name.
He's been in a lot of
SpongeBob. Yeah,
has he?
SpongeBob, Dora. He also does the zombies board game stuff. So you'll see like Dora and SpongeBob, and then you'll see these highly detailed, realistic zombies at the same table. So when Paw Patrol was just getting started, he put me in contact with the Nickelodeon folks, and I got that. And so I've been doing that ever since while I still do comic stuff here and there.
and that's just done from home, I take it. You don't have a...
Yep.
That's so cool. And that's like still conceptual art. Like how do you... When you were working on these kind of shows, working for these people, I'm very curious, like what exactly does that entail?
The Paw Patrol stuff, it's all storybooks and coloring books.
I see.
I get art from Nickelodeon that, okay, this is what the episode's like, or I got to see concept art from the Paw Patrol movie, and then try to guess as to what was going to happen with it, because that's all I had to do. And I did like two movie books, and I'm like, okay, I had the subway train is supposed to do a loop de loop. I have no clue what that, how that's supported or anything in the movie. So I'll just, yeah, that works. So kind of guess, and they were fine with it. So it worked.
Right.
I was going to ask that. So when you do stuff like that for a franchise for Nickelodeon, do they have to approve something before it goes to print?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They're, he usually when I do a big book, dick on one of these
characters just goes straight to print.
Here you go.
Nate, no.
Yeah.
That's not what we wanted.
When I'm doing those books, I do the sketch. I have to sketch everything out first. Those get approved by both the publisher and Nickelodeon. And then I have to tighten everything up, and again, approved by both publisher and Nickelodeon. And even then, the final art is all Nickelodeon sees it like three different times at least.
Wow.
Before it's definitely approved and signed off on, and they send back notes if something needs fixed, if something's off model. Yeah.
Wow.
That's crazy.
But cool as hell too.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
Not to say, I wasn't saying you weren't saying it was cool or nothing like that. I'm just emphasizing the, you know, what you guys are saying. Like, I can't imagine. So I'm sure some of these properties like G.I. Joe or like the Marvel Comics or any of that stuff, Image, like stuff you grew up on, you're now working on. That's got to be a little surreal, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The G.I. Joe, I've gotten to do a couple concept art things that, and a few packaging art things.
That's cool.
But so it's stuff that, you know, for the most part, doesn't even get seen or is discarded right afterwards. I did get to draw it was a fire safety G.I. Joe-ish comic. But most of the focus was on these two kids. So it was like I got to draw like the back of Snake Eyes' head. I think Duke was probably the one I got to draw the most. And even, but he can be just kind of boring.
Right.
Because it's Duke. But yeah, so that was, it was like, hey, I got to draw G.I. Joe, sort of. The Marvel stuff's been fun. It's been inks over my buddy Ray Height. It's not quite what I'd like to have as a Marvel credit, but I'll take it because I got both times I've gotten Marvel credits, I've gotten to ink Spider-Man, and he's my favorite character overall. So
you're on the Marvel ladder, though, man.
I'll take it. My name's getting out there. I like to consider myself a journeyman when it comes to comics. I've stolen the term from wrestling, where the journeyman's the guy who always puts over the bigger named art wrestlers and whatnot to make them look good. I've done a lot of inking, colors. I've ghosted art for people before, where I've had to match pencils or inks, and I haven't gotten the official credit. So I've done a lot of variety of work. Wow. So I like to consider myself as a journeyman, you know, a journeyman then, because I'm making all these other people look good. So
well, yeah, you could take someone's drawing and then ink the hell out of it and color it badly. And then,
oh, yeah,
you get a piece of crap in front of you. Well, this doesn't look like that.
Yeah.
Spider-Man is red and blue, not purple and blue.
Right.
Did Brandy describe this to you?
But now I'm lucky enough to be starting to focus on my own stuff that I'm attempting to get out there in one way or another.
Right. Well, that's what I kind of wanted to touch on next. I saw a few comics listed on your website there, one being Punk Rock Ninja and another Carter Kane. I was wondering if you could tell us about those.
Punk Rock Ninja is a short 32-page one-shot that I'm currently working on. The goal is have it done by the first of the year and then take it to Kickstarter. Basically, it's the title kind of says a lot about it. It's the main character. Her name is Sheena from the song, the Ramones song, Sheena is a Punk Rocker. But she's also been trained as a ninja. So she is retrieving a bass that was taken from her. So basically it's her getting the bass and then trying to keep it from getting taken back.
And so, she knows punk rock music. So
yes.
Right on.
It's a winning combination.
Heck yeah, it is.
Like peanut butter back and jelly.
Back in the Midgard comic days, when I was doing stuff, then Keith also had he would do music, a music venue connected to the comic shop. So there would be local punk bands, metal bands, other stuff that came through. So I got to see a lot of that. And some of that's kind of driving the aesthetic, I guess, with this book. So there's going to be a lot of grimy punk rock kind of look, especially at the show when they get there.
That's interesting. All right. Now, what about Carter Kane?
Carter Kane is that's the big book for me. It's a book that I've been working on for years. Originally, it was me and my buddy Jeremy Dale, who actually passed away. It's been 7, maybe 8 years now. He was also a comic artist. He actually got to draw G.I. Joe a lot more than me. Years ago, when they did the 2-packs that came with the comic books.
Right.
He did probably about half of those comics.
Oh, wow. Okay.
He and I originally came up with the idea for Carter about 13, 14 years ago, where originally we were inspired by Spaceman Spiff from Calvin and Hobbes.
Okay.
So, you know, crash landing in the spaceship, the jetpack, goggles, you know, all that. Sure. So Carter started off very Spaceman Spiff-like, where he was going to be it was Carter Kane's Space Rocket Ranger is what it was. So he kind of joined, you know, this intergalactic space cop thing, but he was also, you know, 12, 13 years old.
Gotcha.
So we started doing it. We had pitched it to Image. They turned us down because all ages stuff didn't sell. And that's what we were going for. So we were going to do it ourselves, but then we both started getting busy with other projects and whatnot. So it just kind of got set aside. And a few years later, I had a little bit of time. I was doing the Paw Patrol stuff, but needed something different because you can only draw pups and stuff like that so much.
Before one of them contracts rabies.
So we started talking about bringing it back. Like, I'd played the Mass Effect series. I wanted to take it from, you know, the Spaceman Spiff kind of thing and make it a little more grounded, at least for him. And we started talking about ideas and whatnot, and then he died. So I set it aside because it didn't feel right to even try to do. And then about 2 years ago, I really wanted to get a book done, something. And I started looking at the Carter stuff, and I talked to Jeremy's widow, Kelly, and she told me go for it. So,
oh, nice.
I haven't looked back.
There you go.
Originally, I was going to do just single issues of it, but now I've decided to do it in graphic novel form because kids read more books that way instead of the floppies.
Sure.
So right now I've literally have been pitching it to agents online in hopes that somebody bites and then they can get it through a publisher and I don't have to deal with all of that.
Wouldn't that be nice? Yeah.
Yeah. But I figure once Punk Rock Ninja is done, if I haven't managed to get an agent or anything for it, so around the first of the year, if it's a no-go with anybody else, I'm going to do it myself and it'll get kickstarted and everything. Right now, the first book it's about 175 pages.
Oh, wow.
Ooh. Damn.
Some of it is done because I got 2 single issues published myself. But even then, what'll end up in the graphic novel will be different because I've added about 8 pages to the beginning of the book and tweaked some stuff here and there and the other stuff. So, Awesome. Any single issues are collector's editions now.
And we've heard from so many artists and content creators over the years of how successful Kickstarters have been from that for them when they decide to self-publish and stuff. So, you know, that's probably the way.
It's good also that, you know, there's a route. No matter what, it's going to get out there.
Right.
Yeah. It's not like if it gets turned down by these people, you know, especially like stuff back in the day before we had the internet and, you know, world of possibilities at our fingertips. Right. You know, if you got turned down two or three times, shit, well, what am I going to do now? You know?
Right.
Yep. I backed over 100 things on Kickstarter, but I've never done my own. So I figured that's Punk Rock Ninja will be a nice little test. It's a small book. I'm not going to have to ask for much.
Sure.
And then that can help build up a bit. So then when I'm ready to launch Carter on it, hopefully, or if I have to launch Carter on it, it'll be easier.
Yeah. You don't want that to be a learning experience, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. You want to be well-versed, knowing what you're doing going in. I understand that completely. Well, man, I mean, I haven't read the book yet, but from, you know, what I saw at your convention, and I think on your social media, at least some of it, you know, you have the head of what I believe Carter to be on your profile picture.
Yeah,
it looks gorgeous, man. I mean, you're a great artist. You'd have to be doing half the stuff you said you were doing here. So that is amazing. I want to encourage people to, again, check you out at nate-lovett.com. And again, at Nate Lovett on social media. Is there anywhere, Nate, I'm forgetting to direct people?
No, because it's literally Nate Lovett on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook.
Right.
So
I just know sometimes artists have that third, not a WordPress, but what was that website that a lot of people used to use back in the day? I can't remember.
GeoCities?
Something like that. To that effect. I don't know. Is that right? Are you making shit up?
No. That's a name. That's an old.
Okay. I can't remember what it was, but it was like a portfolio website for artists to go like have a
DeviantArt.
DeviantArt. Yeah, that was it.
I'm on there. I haven't updated in forever.
I don't think anybody has. I think the world forgot about DeviantArt. Because it used to be like every guest had a DeviantArt page they wanted to get off their chest, but I haven't heard that in a long time.
It's been a while, yeah.
The times, they are a-changing. But Nate, I want to thank you so much for taking time to be here with us. I hope you had a lot of fun, and we'll get you back on in the future, man. We'll help you get that Kickstarter promoted, too, if you're up for that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Very cool, man. Well, thank you again for being here. And Jack, what do we got on the website?
Go to cannedairpodcast.com where you can listen to us, watch us,
talk
buy
to us.
Us.
You can patronize buy us. We are hooers. You can buy us.
We cheap
hooers.
If you'd like to be a guest and promote your work, send us an email on your contacts page.
And again, find us on Twitter at CanedairPod and on Instagram at can_air. And that website Jack was just talking about, cannedairpodcast.com. Has the Patreon button right there, a button to buy merch, a button to see our special guest page. There, I got it out. What am I forgetting, Randy? I know I always am.
Hey, it's spooky season, so you got a scary story, send it over to us. Either come on the air and read it, tell us, or read it. Yeah, we can read it. Try to read it.
I mean, if you just wanted to text, you know, type it up, send it to us that way, we could do it that way. We just know.
1,000 words or less.
No, you can do whatever you want. I mean, not a novel, people, but, you know, within reason. But I would love to get ghost stories in here.
Hell yeah.
That would be cool, yeah.
How cool it would be. But I know that people traditionally don't like to hear themselves on microphone. Mm-hmm. Some people, it just shatters their world.
Yep.
And, you know, when we always sitting here talking into one, it's hard to relate to that. But I remember a time.
Oh, yeah.
I remember a time.
That's what I sound like.
That's not me. Shut up.
What'd you do to my voice?
Right? All right, everyone. I think that's going to do it for this week. So until next time, I am Jeremy Colley.
I'm Jack Doherty.
I'm Randy Hardenbrook.
And I'm Nate Lovett.
Thanks so much for listening, everyone, and be excellent to each other.
a dog. Hi, puppy. Nice puppy. Oh, no.
Don't run. It'll only make things worse.
Mutt.
Remember, you never want to approach a stray dog, especially one that's foaming at the mouth. Get away from the animal as quickly as you can and tell a grown-up. And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
This has been a Canned Air production.
Pit Pass Moto, sponsored by Moto America, is the show that keeps you up to speed on the latest in motorcycling and brings the biggest names in motorcycle racing right to you. From candid interviews with the top names in racing to providing insights into the trends and trendsetters driving the motorcycle industry, we have you covered. New episodes are available every Thursday at pitpassmoto.com and on your favorite podcast app. Ride on!